Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a long list of sponsorships and things that you need to buy. Instead, I'm just going to explain. What we do is we teach baking as lifestyle medicine. This is an evidence-based approach to baking, eating, and sharing bread that improves the gut microbiome and mental health. So let's just get straight into this podcast.
When you put the link together with the biosphere and our own gut microbiome and our own perception of our own planet, we realize that we are intrinsically, completely, intricately connected on this sort of, you know, biological, incredible microbial level that hooks the whole thing together.
So this is going to sound punny, but I mean it seriously, which is that I think of it almost like an enlivenment, right? So if you think of the Enlightenment as this great time of learning, we're having this moment when we realize that everything around us is alive and connected, and that manifests in this Gaia-like form all over the place, but it's super hard to be aware of. And so for me, like, starters then became this way that was easy to be aware of. Like, oh, look at that bubbling life.
Yeah.
That's we're part of that.
A lot of people talk about an energy and they can tap into this sort of feeling of energy. And when I looked at my starter for the very first time, I was actually at a huge yeast factory over that way somewhere near Folkestone. I think it was Fleshman. And it could have been 9 or 10 years ago now. I'd have to look at the post. It's on the website somewhere. And I took a little video of the movement of the starter, and it blew my brains out. The speed at which those little critters run around in the starter is extraordinary. They were having a part. I mean, they were literally like zoom, 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 zoom. And I was like, look at them. And that energy that they had, I suddenly felt that this for me tapped into that energy everybody talks about. It was almost like I could see what I could sense.
But why do you think it's so hard for people to feel that, to get to that? I mean, I think, like, if I think back on the history of microbiology, Anton von Leeuwenhoek, first person to really make sense, see microbes around himself, and he was just obsessed with the microscopic life, and he loved it. Like, it was real love. But then when he died, nobody followed up on him for 100 years. And I often feel that way with the life around us. Like, look, this is so amazing.
And Louis Pasteur, his colleague, were arguing with him as he was showing them how to sterilize their... incredible, really, when you think about the microbes and I have a feeling that part of it may have just been that, first off, our brains have to catch up. Have you ever noticed that even change in your routine, if you have to get up at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock, it's a problem? So change is a problem. I think that if we go back and look historically, you're really at that point, the narrative was predominantly Christian. And to bring about a life that is something you can't see would have been challenging to the concept of the narrative that was, you know, thousands of years, you know, hundreds of years old. And I think that there would have been conflict in people's minds about getting their head around an invisible life force that they couldn't see, against, you know, the God created the universe in 7 days. So there's always this conflict between God and science. And yet somehow I had this sort of feeling, for me, it sort of shows me how beautiful. I don't believe in a particular God, I'm sorry, but I believe in the energy. I'm actually practicing Buddhist. But what I can see when I see those bacteria and the complexity and simplicity of them blows my brains out. Because there's so much more to learn as well. And I think this actually makes me more connected. And you're talking about everyday life. So come back to, so tell me the everyday life, Rob. I'm talking about connections to everything I do, the air I breathe, the what I wash my hands with, the soil in my garden, my pets. Tell me about, I mean, we're talking about cytostatus in a minute, but let's just talk about the large macro environment.
Yeah, so if we zoom out, if we think about your house, let's think about the library, right? So you're in the library. In that library, there are certainly tens of thousands of species, probably 100,000 on that order. And most of them never studied. And so, like, when you breathe in deeply, most of the species you inhale, they don't have names. Nobody knows what genes they have. Nobody knows whether, which ones are good, which are bad. And so you're kind of in the starter in your room, right? And there's a daily exchange between the microbes on you and the microbes in that room. And if you, yeah, it's happening right now, and everybody's listening, that's happening to you. But that's very different from the exchange that happens in the kitchen, which is very different from the exchange that would happen, 1,000 years ago. We all mostly lived outside.
So
And so,
even the difference between what is between your nose and your mouth is so bananas. It's like saying it's the difference between England and Turkey in terms of, cultural differences. It's
way
literally
more
that
different, way
level.
more different.
Oh, even more different, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Right. And so you have these, right, to make that point, you have microbes covering, everybody has microbes covering their skin. When you scrub your hands with soap and water, if you sample them again the second after you scrub them, they're still covered with life. Your lungs are covered with life. All humans have a fungus that lives in their lungs. Nobody on Earth right now studies the biology of that fungus. We just know it's there. I think it's probably mutualistic, but I've got no idea. And so it's this really complex ecosystem, and it's different in each part. And in each place, the microbes play different roles. And so the ones in your nose play roles, the ones in your mouth play roles, the ones in your skin and your gut. And if we looked at cows, we knew about these for almost 200 years in cows. We thought humans were special, and so we tended to ignore all of these things in humans. And then in the last 10 years, all of a sudden the veil lifted up and we remembered that we're alive too.
I was talking about you about this a few weeks ago and talking about the way that we started to understand microbes. So when I first started looking at microbes, first of all, I couldn't get access to papers because I wasn't a student. So I relied on illegal means of getting my knowledge, which was usually begging or pleading other students to send me papers. And I once used to buy them. I mean, at £40 a shot, that's how much I used to. I mean, I literally bought my paper. I'd save my money up and buy a paper. That's how much I wanted to learn. And there were no really big, beefy papers on this. And suddenly it went from me scraping around to find papers and scrabbling around, sort of getting my hands on maybe one a week, maybe two a month, to almost to the point now where there are, I mean, papers being printed by the day and published by the day. To the point where I actually can't keep up with the knowledge because it's coming in at such a pace. I just it's almost exponential, this understanding of the different.
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this. If the idea of prescribing baking as lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based approach to your patients to help them improve their physical and mental health through the bread that they bake, eat, and share every day appeals to you, then go to thesourdoughschool.com and learn how you can prescribe or teach this as part of your own practice. If you have just fallen in love with the whole concept and you just want to learn to do this for yourself and your family, you can self-prescribe at thesourdoughclub.com. I look forward to seeing you in some of our live sessions.